Washington. Does that sound okay? Because it's the 50th anniversary. And we should focus on Prabhupada. You know, a nice thing I heard recently, in the last year, I forget exactly, was, you know this book, Chant and Be Happy? Smaller book. On the cover, George Harrison, John Lennon. So, right, so we've got that book and devotees like distributing it. And because everyone's heard of the Beatles, even in 2016. So, all they do, they give the person a book, point to John Lennon, George Harrison. You know these people, people are impressed. So this one devotee, Hare Krishna, devotees, you have come from Yavat, that sacred place. So one devotee then was distributing Prabhupada's books on the street somewhere, and he had that book, Chant and Be Happy, and some young man came by, and the devotee gave him that book, and pointed to the cover, the pictures, John Lennon, George Harrison, Prabhupada's picture is there also. And said, you know who this is, right? This young man's looking at the pictures, didn't say anything. And the devotee said, you know who this is? And the man said, look, I don't know who these two guys are, but this one is the head of the Hare Krishna movement. As you see, in this material world, everything is temporary. You can be famous today. You can be extremely famous. But tomorrow or after a little while, you're forgotten. You're nobody. And of course, when you're famous and well known, it feels good. Generally, like people like it when other people notice them and express some appreciation. But it's just temporary, and then after a while, you're forgotten, and then you get no feeling out of it. You may remember how the people used to glorify me, but you don't get anything from it any longer. It's the nature of this world. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada, such an extraordinary person, and he'll be remembered and appreciated more and more and more and more. You know, when I joined, that was early 1973. And the devotees appreciated Srila Prabhupada. But now, there's so many more devotees. So many more, many times more. And they appreciate Srila Prabhupada so much. So it's increasing like that. The depth of appreciation and realization about Srila Prabhupada. And, yes, because Prabhupada is a transcendental person with transcendental qualities, and his activities were transcendental, and the different examples he set and special things he did are of great significance and like of lasting significance for becoming Krishna conscious. So I remember when Srila Prabhupada would come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. This is in the mid-70s, sort of 74, 75. And we would sit outside his rooms in the evening, or sit outside his rooms. Sometimes we'd hear Prabhupada in his room, whether he'd play harmonium and sing a bhajan. And sometimes he'd have some prasadam and send the remnants would come out. And we particularly liked getting the orange skins. Prabhupada, when he had oranges, they were not skinned and then he'd eat, you know, the whole sort of inner part. But it would be cut with the skin on, and then he would take the pieces and suck the juice out and sort of chew a little bit on it, but not eat the actual, you know, whatever you'd say, the inner part. So we would get the skins and the inner part, all the sort of stringy bits and all, would be there and no juice. And we would try and get those skins because Prabhupada had sucked on them, and we would eat the skins, the orange skins. Yeah, it was nice. You know, you may have heard many of my stories about Srila Prabhupada. Let's see if you've heard this one. Prabhupada was being driven around London. They were going to a program or something like that. And so our temple was quite close to where the temple is now, actually. I don't know if you're familiar with London at all and where our temple is and so on. So our temple at that time was also, it's right in the center of London, what they call the West End. And Prabhupada was being driven to some program or something like that. And they drove past Buckingham Palace, the royal residence, which is also right in the center of London. And it's big, very fancy place. And there's a road that goes up to the front of it, then you drive around the side. So they're driving up, and this one devotee in the vehicle said, Srila Prabhupada, one of the guards from Buckingham Palace has just become a devotee. One of the guards, one of these men with the big black pants, you know, red coats and so on, who walk up and down. He's a very important man. Yeah, he's a guard from Buckingham Palace. He's become a devotee. It's very significant. And Srila Prabhupada said, and what about the Queen? Oh, he's such a character. You might like this one. This was told to us by Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who passed away some years ago. really nice to that age. Somehow it got closer and passed away. So Dribhuvanath told us that he asked Prabhupada once that sometimes when we try to practice Krishna consciousness, there's some difficulty, and it's sometimes it's a little painful dealing with some situation or anxieties like that. And what is it? What is it, Srila Prabhupada? Krishna consciousness is meant to be blissful, but sometimes we struggle and we feel some discomfort and pain. And Srila Prabhupada replied, it is Krishna biting you. Prabhupada said, just like a young man and a young woman, sometimes they embrace and they bite each other. What is it called? Prabhupada's asking. Oh, Prabhupada, a love bite. And Prabhupada said, yes, love bite. So this is what Krishna does. And we must remember, even though it may be painful, actually it's Krishna's expression of love, of affection. One time Prabhupada was there, that where that temple was, it was called Berry Place, the name of the street. So Prabhupada had just finished giving class, and if you can imagine, like, just for argument's sake, the altar, say, is here where the wall is, and then the temple room is going out that way, and Prabhupada's Vyasasan was like right here, right next to the altar. You know, he could literally put his hand out and it was in the altar area. But the Vyasasan was on an angle, so, you know, you can address the devotees down the length of the temple room. Prabhupada completed the class and he turned to the deities, and he was looking at the deities for a minute or some little time. Prabhupada was looking at the deities and he became quite emotional, and he turned to the devotees and Prabhupada said, I have captured Krishna and I'm holding him here for you. Please come and take him. So this is Srila Prabhupada, really very special person. He's not just, you know, an advanced devotee or a prominent devotee or influential devotee or clever devotee. Although, you know, he was all those things. But Prabhupada was very, very deep, very, very deep devotee, very connected with Krishna, very connected with Krishna. And, well, like he said, he was holding Krishna for us and just waiting for us to come and take Krishna from him. Mother Yamuna told a story that they were in somewhere in America and they're having a program. And at the end of the program, Prabhupada had her sing kirtan. Yamuna was a very good singer. And Prabhupada really appreciated her singing a lot. So she's leading the kirtan. Everything's going on. Devotees chanting. Prabhupada's chanting. Suddenly, in the middle of the kirtan, Prabhupada started looking around, and Prabhupada started singing the lines, couple of lines from famous song. Narada Muni, what is it? Bhajaya Veena, Radhika Ravana, Namane. I think those are the words. You familiar with that? Narada Muni, Bhajaya Veena, playing on his veena, and singing Radhika Ramana, Namane. Yeah. And Prabhupada started, you know, the kirtan's going on, but Prabhupada was just loudly calling out these lines while looking around. And Yamuna said she didn't know what to do. Should she stop the kirtan? Because Prabhupada's sort of just focusing elsewhere. Or what should she do? And the other devotees also. But they just took it that we should just continue, and they continued. And the next day she asked Prabhupada, what was it? You started singing those lines. And Prabhupada said, oh, you didn't see? Narada Muni was there in the kirtan. As it was, Prabhupada was repeating those lines, after a little while he just joined in the kirtan. So yeah, this is Srila Prabhupada, very special person, not just another devotee, or even not just another special devotee or prominent devotee, but someone who's actually situated in his relationship with Krishna directly. And therefore empowered and able to give Krishna completely to everybody. Just talking about Tribhuvana, did any of you ever meet Tribhuvana? He wanted to come here, actually. He really wanted to come here, but it didn't happen. He joined when he was 17, joined the temple. We went into the temple. He's from Ireland. His family was there. He didn't tell his family. And so after about 6 months, several months, now he's just turned 18. And the temple president said, we're all going to India. Hari Bol. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu said, Who will be president? And the president said, you. So he was everything for some weeks or a month or so. He was everything. He was just everything. And what should happen after a week or so, devotees had gone away. BBC television phoned up. We want to interview your leader for television. Can we speak with your leader? I'm the leader. So they came and they met 18 years old Tribhuvanath Prabhu, and they interviewed him live on BBC television. And his parents in Ireland saw it. And they didn't know he was a devotee. They didn't know what is Hare Krishna. They never heard about it. And the first thing they see, there is their 18-year-old son. And he is the leader of the Hare Krishna movement in the United Kingdom. Yes. So, Srila Prabhupada was... Srila Prabhupada was concerned about standards, that we do things nicely and not just sort of casual or slapdash sort of, you know, anything goes. One time when Prabhupada was in America, the devotees in Los Angeles, a really professional Indian dancing, classical dancing troupe came to the Los Angeles temple and offered to do a show, a dancing show, for everyone at the Sunday program. And everyone liked it. It was because they were just really expert. And everyone liked it, and they liked it so much. They took photos, devotees took photos, and they sent a devotee to Prabhupada, who was in another city somewhere in America, to show him the photos and make a report. Prabhupada, this was so wonderful. So the devotees with Prabhupada, showing him the photos, and yes, Prabhupada, everyone was so impressed. It was just, they were so expert. And Prabhupada's looking at the pictures. And Prabhupada saw that the dancers were dancing with their backs to the deities. And the audience was sitting, looking, you know, again, if the altars across the wall there, the audience is looking like this, but the dancers are all facing away and their backs are to the deities. And the devotees telling Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada, it was so nice. The people were so impressed. And Prabhupada said, but the dancers have their backs to the deities. And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada, anyway, but the people were very impressed. And it was just very successful. And Srila Prabhupada said, but the dancers have their backs to the deities. And in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami says, you must never turn your back to the deities. And then it registered on the devotee's mind that Prabhupada was not happy. And the devotee said, ah, well, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we asked the GBC, local, Jayatirtha. We asked Jayatirtha, and Jayatirtha said it was all right. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, I see. Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion says, you must not turn your back to the deities. But Jayatirtha says, it is all right. I see. He has become, Jayatirtha has become big, big authority. And Prabhupada said, that is the problem in our movement. Too many big, big authorities. Prabhupada was very, well, just back to London. You know, I joined in London. And Prabhupada visited London a lot. On one visit, Prabhupada arrived in Heathrow in the airport, but the devotees had the wrong information. They thought he was coming later in the day, and there was no one there to pick him up and his assistant. And Prabhupada's just there in the airport. And one devotee, his name was Sudhajaya, he passed away also. This one devotee just happened to be in the airport. He was in charge of what they called spiritual sky. That doesn't mean Goloka Vrindavan. It means the temple incense and essential oils business. Right. So he had been doing some business in the airport, and he was walking through the airport, And who should he see but Srila Prabhupada? And so he went over, offered his obeisances, started a one-man kirtan, clapping his hands. And Prabhupada wanted to know what to do. So Sudhajaya, he had a van, the spiritual sky van, the incense delivery van. It smelt like 1,000 sticks of agarbatti of all different flavors mixed together. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, well, I'll take you to the temple in the spiritual sky van. It was a Ford Transit. It's kind of like a Hiace type of thing. So they're walking out of the airport. And in those days, there were no cell phones. And he thought, and Sudhajaya thought, I have to call the temple and tell them Prabhupada's coming. So he's walking with Prabhupada and the secretary. And he went past a public telephone, payphone, and he just ducked away for a few seconds, called the temple really quickly. And someone answered. He said, Prabhupada's coming. And the devotee at the end of the other end of the phone said, we know Prabhupada's coming, and hung up. And he couldn't call back and because Prabhupada was walking on. So they rolled up at the temple and there's everyone clean and suddenly, oh, there's Srila Prabhupada. Bhadri Narayan Swami, very nice devotee, tells a story of when he was president in San Diego in America. When Prabhupada would come, oftentimes they'd repaint the whole temple and just clean everything, and it was like major operation. And they would finish just as Prabhupada stepped out of the car to enter the building. So this is what was happening. And they had all this stuff. You know, flower stalks and paper and just all the rubbish. They put it out the back. Just like piles of this stuff. And one devotee got the bright idea of painting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the front steps coming up off the street into the temple. Prabhupada got out of the car, just about to go up the steps, and he saw the Hare Krishna Mantra. And Prabhupada said, oh, I cannot step on the Hare Krishna Mantra. So he went around the back. And there was just all this stuff everywhere. That, of course, they're trying to hide from him. Prabhupada was very compassionate. One time, in Los Angeles, which was sort of the headquarters of the movement in those days, one young girl, like late teens, maybe 20, 21, something like that, joined the temple. And she was a bit of an artist. Maybe not too much, but a bit of an artist. And she saw the books with the pictures, and she thought, wow, I want to paint for the books. So the devotees, Rameshwar Swami and one other, Brahmachari, BBT manager type, they said, okay, you paint a painting, we'll show it to Srila Prabhupada, we'll see what he thinks. So she painted a painting. And in this painting, Krishna looked really miserable. Krishna just didn't look happy. It had been a really tough day. And the devotees looked at this painting and they thought, doesn't look very suitable. But she was, you know, urging, show it to Prabhupada, please, show it. So they took her and the painting and they went in into Prabhupada's room and they showed Prabhupada the painting. And Prabhupada looked at the painting and Prabhupada was really not happy. Prabhupada said, what is this? What is this meant to be? And the girl said, Srila Prabhupada, this is Krishna feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada said, this is not what Krishna looks like when he's feeling separation from Radharani. That separation is ecstatic. You've made Krishna look like some young boy who's just lost his girlfriend. We cannot use this painting. We cannot use it. And the girl broke down, crying on the spot, just like distress, distraught. And Rameshwar Swami and this other devotee, Brahmachari, they're with the girl. They couldn't touch her. But they're saying, let's go. Okay. But she was just too overwhelmed by it all. And she's just crying and crying. And after a minute of this, Prabhupada said, just a moment. Let me see that painting again. And Prabhupada looked at the painting again. And this time, you know, his head's nodding. And he's more positive. And Prabhupada said, yes, we can use this painting. I know what we will call this painting. We will call this painting, Krishna has a headache. So she was very happy. And she went on to become one of the artists for the BBT. You know, Prabhupada's compassion. One time Prabhupada was on the roof of what is called now the Lotus Building in Mayapur. At that time it was the only building. And Prabhupada was up on the roof there with a couple of senior devotees. Bhavananda was there, maybe Jayapataka Maharaj. And Prabhupada was saying that, you know, they're looking out just over Mayapur and the Ganges is there. It's very beautiful, very natural. And Prabhupada said, Mayapur is just so wonderful. The whole world will come to see Mayapur and they'll be just so impressed and moved by it. Mayapur is so wonderful. And we will develop it. And yes. So Prabhupada sang like that. And then Prabhupada suddenly said, but the material world, it's horrible. It's a terrible place. It's just too much. It's just a horrible place. And Prabhupada said, I didn't want to come. But Krishna told me, you must come. You must give the people your books. And Prabhupada said, I told Krishna that, Krishna, I don't want to come. It's too horrible. It's too terrible. I don't want to go. And Krishna said, no, you must go. The people need your books. Without your books, they won't be able to do anything. And Prabhupada said, therefore I came. And again, you know, Prabhupada's such a special personality. Prabhupada's on the level of the six Goswamis. Prabhupada's on the level of the greatest of the great acharyas. One time, talking about Prabhupada's compassion, one time Prabhupada was being massaged and a secretary was reading the mail to him. Different letters, and Prabhupada's being massaged, and sometimes he'd make a comment, or even sometimes, you know, speak a short reply. So, this story we were told by the one devotee who was there, who witnessed this, that secretary opened an envelope and started reading a letter. In the letter, the devotee said that Srila Prabhupada, I'm struggling so much. It's so difficult. That I chant and I practice for a few weeks, but then after a few weeks, somehow, I smoke a cigarette. And then for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm smoking cigarettes. But then I stop. Somehow I stop. And then I carry on in devotional service for a few weeks. But then somehow, after a few weeks, somehow I smoke a cigarette. And then for a few weeks I'm smoking cigarettes. So the devotee who told us the story, who was there, he said he's listening to this and he's thinking, what a nonsense. What sort of devotee is this, smoking cigarettes? He's not even really a devotee. Anyway, the letter went on. Same thing. I smoke for a few weeks, then somehow I stop. And Srila Prabhupada, it's so difficult. And then the letter finished. And the devotee, this other devotee, is sitting there thinking, what a rascal. How can he say he's a devotee? And Prabhupada became very thoughtful. Just like meditative. And Srila Prabhupada said, what a great song. He's struggling so hard for Krishna. Even though he has this very bad habit and he can't get free from it, but still he's trying. He's struggling so hard for Krishna. Anyway, you can meditate on that. Don't take it as a justification for smoking cigarettes or any other sort of related type thing. But Srila Prabhupada could see people's hearts. Yeah. One time, somewhat similar situation, one time Tamal Krishna Goswami, some of you may have seen him, he was traveling with Prabhupada in America, and after Mangal Arati one morning, he wanted to go into Prabhupada's room and meet with Srila Prabhupada. So he went to the door, he was just about to go in, Prabhupada's secretary stopped him and said, no, you can't go in. Jayananda Prabhu is with Prabhupada and you can't go in. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, I mean, if you knew him at all, you would know he's not the sort of person that you can tell that you can't go into a room at all. But, you know, the secretary, the servant, was quite firm about it. And Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, well, what is Jayananda doing with Prabhupada? And the secretary said, Prabhupada is giving him Gayatri mantras. It means the mantras devotees get when they get second initiation. And Tamal Krishna Goswami thought, what? Gayatri mantras? He received second initiation some years ago at the same time as me. And we were given Gayatri at that time. What is this? He's getting Gayatri mantras from Prabhupada. After some minutes, Jayananda came out. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "What's going on? I heard you're getting Gayatri from Prabhupada, but we got Gayatri years ago, together." And Jayananda Prabhu said, "Yes, I know. But, you know, I have a problem. I keep forgetting the mantras. So every 6 months I go back to Prabhupada. He gives me the mantras again." And Tamal Krishna Goswami, who's really like, you know, everything's got to be in place. He thought, "What is this? Come on. You forget the mantras. Oh no." Next morning after Mangal Arati, because, you know, often or usually or quite often, second initiated devotees, they chant Gayatri immediately after Mangal Arati. They all sit there. So that's what happened. Tamal Krishna Goswami was there, and various others, and Jayananda Prabhu. And those of you who are second initiated would know, to chant Gayatri, the seven Gayatri mantras, it takes about 5 minutes. Jayananda Prabhu finished in 1 minute. You know, it cannot be done. And Tamal Krishna Goswami is chanting Gayatri, and he saw this, and he thought, "Oh no." So anyway, he finished after a few minutes, and it was too much. That was it. He went to Prabhupada, and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, this Jayananda is too much. You know, he got Gayatri years ago, but he forgets the mantras. He has to come and get them from you every 6 months. He's not a Brahmin. He shouldn't be wearing a Brahmin thread. He's not a Brahmin. He's not qualified to chant Gayatri mantras." Prabhupada didn't appreciate it. Prabhupada said, "Jayananda is so sincere that he could chant whatever he likes and Krishna will accept it. And don't take that as an excuse to chant whatever he likes." There's one very nice devotee named Tejas Prabhu, who actually I just saw in Mumbai several weeks ago. Really amazing devotee. He was temple president of New Delhi in Prabhupada's time. In those days there was no real temple. It was a flat in a block of flats. And the temple room was it was definitely smaller than this room. I mean, it might maybe half the size, but it was just a little flat in a block of flats somewhere in Delhi. And Tejas Prabhu was temple president. And Prabhupada would visit from time to time. And so one time Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada's cook became unwell. And there's no one to cook for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked Tejas Prabhu, "Can you cook upma?" Are you familiar with upma? Yeah? "Can you cook upma?" Tejas is a very conservative type of person. He said, "Somewhat, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Please cook upma for me for lunch." So down the road and around the corner, there was a special, super special, super duper, 7-star, Shuddha Shakahari, pure vegetarian restaurant. It was like, you know, wow. a real high class traditional restaurant. Tejas went running down there, met the chief cook, and got the top super duper 7-star recipe for utma. And he made this incredible utma for Srila Prabhupada. You know, it was like 50% ghee. It was really rich. And he served it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada normally, when it came to taking prasadam, Prabhupada would not eat a lot. This time, he ate it all that was on his plate. And Prabhupada didn't make any comment. He just asked, is there any more? So Tejas Prabhu, yes, filled up the plate again with upma. Prabhupada ate it all. You know, this is unheard of, completely unheard of. And Prabhupada said, is there more? And Tejas gave him whatever was left. That was it. That was the end of the upma. And Prabhupada ate it all. The whole lot. Next morning, Prabhupada didn't get up as early as usual. But he got up in time for his morning walk. But that morning, Prabhupada was walking slowly. He was not feeling so good. And Tejas was there, and various sannyasis and senior devotees would go with Prabhupada for his morning walk. Prabhupada's walking slowly, then Prabhupada stopped and turned to the assembled. There was like 6 or 10 devotees. Prabhupada said, that boy who cooked the upma for me yesterday, he poisoned me. And Tejas was just shocked completely. And all the devotees just looked at Tejas. And Prabhupada said, yes, that upma was so nice. I ate too much. And this morning I feel a little unwell. Yes, Tejas. We're going to run out of time. Let's see. Hey, how about, what do you think? How about a story about Srila Prabhupada and Mataji's? Would that be in order? Would that be in order? This is a story actually from Mother Malati. Maybe she told it when she was here. Anyway, it was during, I think, the Delhi Pandal. Was it Delhi? And she was cooking for Prabhupada. Did she tell that story? In a little room on the floor with 2 inches of water. No. Okay, just this little room, just a floor, a ceiling, and 4 walls, and a cooker on the floor, and 2 inches of water permanently on the floor. And she had to do everything, and it was very difficult. And her sari would become wet, and then it would sort of draw the water up. And it was just really very awkward. But she carried on. One day, she was out buying vegetables for Prabhupada in some market. And she saw some Rajasthani ladies selling very colorful Rajasthani skirts. You know what a skirt is? He knows. Okay. We won't go into the details. If any of you need to know, if any of you don't know, good. If you need to know, you can ask some of the ladies. And they're kind of like, you know, between the knee and the ankles. They're not really completely long and colorful with little mirrors and things. And she thought, hey, that'd be good because it's a little shorter. I can wear one of them and it won't get completely soaking wet. And Prabhupada never comes into the kitchen, so he won't see. So I've solved a problem. So, okay, she went back. Now she's wearing her skirt. It's called a gagra. She's wearing a skirt and cooking away and very happy and dry, even though the floor's got 2 inches of water on it. And, you know, Prabhupada never comes in into the kitchen, so it's fine. And what should happen? Tell us. Prabhupada came into the kitchen. And Prabhupada just looked at her skirt and said, what is this? And walked out. She changed back into sari on the spot. Let me tell you, do you know the story about the lady from the aeroplane in South America? He knows it. Anyway, I'll tell you. Hari Sori Prabhu was with Prabhupada. They're flying on Venezuela Airlines, somewhere in South America. And so they're there. It's Prabhupada, a few devotees, Hari Sori. And they're all together in economy class, with Prabhupada in economy class. And Prabhupada, they just took off. Prabhupada says, do we have any prasadam? All they had was some, like, puffed rice, spiced puffed rice with peanuts. It's a little like chevda, but a very simple form. And so that was all they had, so Prabhupada was eating that. And this one air hostess walked by and stopped and looked at what Prabhupada was eating and said, oh, that looks nice, and grabbed some and just started eating it. Oh, that's really nice. Oh, what is it? They explained. And she said, is that all you have? Oh, I'll bring you food. And Hari Sori Prabhu said, no, 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 it's okay. We're vegetarian. We don't eat this type of food that you have. And she said, no problem. I'll go to first class. I'll bring you fruit. She came back with just kilos of wonderful whole fruits. Would you like anything to drink? Some tea? Coffee? Hari Sori said, well, you know, we don't drink tea or coffee. We drink milk. Oh, milk! I'll bring milk. And he said, but we drink hot milk. Oh, okay, I'll make it hot. She came back with a couple of liters of hot milk and cups. And he said, we have sugar with our milk. She brought sugar and teaspoons. Anything else? She was just inspired. Having taken Prabhupada's remnants. And Hari Sori said to Srila Prabhupada, that's really amazing, isn't it? And he was going to say, she got your remnants and see how she got transformed. But Prabhupada sort of cut him off and said, yes, that is the nature of women. They have a natural serving mood. He didn't take it that, yes, you know, she got my remnants and like that. So then for the rest of the flight, every few minutes she was stopping by. And what do you need? Some more milk, some this and that and pillows, blankets, you know. For the whole trip, she just looked after them. And then the flight ended. She was at the door when they came out. She was, "Goodbye, so nice to meet you. It was wonderful." And that was that. And then Harry saw her. You know, he stopped now for health reasons, but he used to travel around the world doing a seminar, his experiences with Prabhupada. And, you know, now this is like 10 years after Prabhupada left this world, maybe late 80s or 90s even. And he was in Brazil doing his seminar, and he told the story. And everyone appreciated it so much. And at the end, one devotee came to Hari Sori Prabhu and said, "You know that story about the air hostess? That was such a wonderful story. Such a wonderful story. But there's something I would like to tell you." He said, "You know, just recently, there was a small group of us. We went up the Amazon to areas, like inaccessible areas. You can only get there by boat. And we went there on Sankirtan. We were distributing books. And we were in one village way up there in the Amazon in the middle of nowhere. And I knocked on a door. And a woman opened the door. And she had a sari on and tila. And she said, 'Oh, you're a devotee. What are you doing here?'" And this devotee's explaining that. I said, "Well, what are you doing here?" And she invited him in, and she had Gaunatai deities and pictures of Krishna. It was just like the spiritual world. And he said, "How did you become a devotee up here?" And she said, "You know, you won't believe it. I was an air hostess on Venezuela Airlines. And one time, Srila Prabhupada was on the flight. And I got some of his remnants. And it just, my whole life just changed." So, nice. Very nice. We're going to have to wind up. We are going to have to wind up. When Mother Malati and Mother Vishakha were here, did they tell you the story about Lakshmi Moni, Devi Dasi, and her heavy experience with Srila Prabhupada? Okay, let me tell you that one. Lakshmi Moni, I don't know if you know her, she's another old Prabhupada disciple lady. Very nice to meet you. Very nice. So she was there in Vrindavan when Krishna Balaram temple was opened. And some days after, Prabhupada stayed there after the opening. And some days later, Prabhupada was saying that, you know, you can learn from the Radharaman temple how they worship, how they do deity worship. And we can apply some of these standards here in our Krishna Balaram temple. So Prabhupada went with them to the Radharaman temple and was pointing out certain things about their deity worship. And he told her, because if you're familiar with Radharaman, he uses conch shell eyes. They're kind of oversized often. And Prabhupada pointed out that you see those conch shell eyes? Perhaps we can use them for Shamsunda, Radha Shamsunda. They look very nice. And somehow it really struck Lakshmi Moni. This story, she told this story in the context that there was a big Prabhupada festival and many old Prabhupada disciples were telling of their experiences with Prabhupada. And someone raised the question, who of all of you got chastised the most heavily by Prabhupada? And someone said, oh, it was me, yeah, and told his story. And someone else said, no, I got chastised more than you, told his story. And someone else said, no, I got chastised. And finally, Lakshmi Moni said, listen, I got chastised more than any of you. And this is the story. So they went back. And some of the things which Prabhupada had pointed out, over the next couple of days, he brought those things up again to the devotees and said, you know, we saw this in the Radharaman temple. Have you instituted that? But not the conch shell eyes. And Mother Lakshmi Moni, after a few days, she said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what about the conch shell eyes? Shall I get some for Shamsunda? And Prabhupada said, well, I don't know. But she was still enthusiastic. A few days later, she said, Prabhupada, the conch shell eyes from Radharaman for Shamsunda, shall I get some? And Prabhupada said, you know, I don't think it's so suitable, actually. A few days later, she went back to Radharaman, saw more conch shell eyes, came back and said, Prabhupada, I was at Radharaman temple and he had these beautiful conch shell eyes. Shall I get some for Shamsunda? And Prabhupada got really angry. And Prabhupada said, I am Prabhupada and I say, we will not use conch shell eyes. That was the end of that discussion. Let me conclude by telling you a joke that Prabhupada told. Is that okay? It's a joke told by Srila Prabhupada. That Rasa Prabhupada story. In the temple, in the evening, one devotee, there was a big feast. And one devotee, it's late at night, one devotee, he really indulged himself. He really had a big feast. And the last thing he had was one golden brown, effulgent, glowing, oozing with sugar syrup. If you just looked at it, it squirted sugar syrup. Gulab jamun. Not one of the football, rugby ball shaped ones from Durban, but one of them. The bona fide round ones. And that was it. And he just took rest. That was it. Finished. Completely. Next morning he woke up. And as soon as he woke up, run to the toilet. And just passed stool. And he stood up and he turned around and he looked at the stool in the toilet and he spoke to the stool, and Prabhupada told the story, this joke, and he said to the stool, look at you, you're so horrible and smelly and just terrible. And the stool replied. And the stool said, don't talk about me like that. Don't say things like that. Last night, I was that gulab jamun. But after just one night's association with you, see what happens. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go pray for that day.